Francis.
Is it Francis with an I or with an E? I think it's an E, isn't it?
You sure?
E is for a guy and I is for a girl. That's what.
That's what you were taught.
That's what I was taught.
Okay. Yes. Well, go with that then. So yeah.
Hi Francis, it's just a joy to have known you for a number of years, and I just want to say thank you for all you've done, all you've given to each one of us here. And like I said to you earlier, just today, thank you for the example you have set for us over these years. Just your resilience, your determination, your perseverance, and just thank you for the loving, wise man you are.
A lovely, friendly man. Pleasant always to have a chat with him.
How you always say hello to me as I walk up the hill from the school run. Such a warm, friendly, loving smile. Thank you.
When we first knew Francis, the thing that really bonded us together was that we are fellow Tottenham Hotspur supporters. But much more than that, we also are fellow worshippers of Jesus and know him as our saviour. And we really love the way in which Francis is so faithful in all that he does. He's a gentle person. He seeks reconciliation, and we value the times that we spend together praying for God's church in battle.
I remember first coming to the church as a very late teenager, and the welcome that Francis gave, his pastoral support and guidance, and then being a member coming back after university, then through training, the support and encouragement he was, his godly example, his faithfulness, his prayerfulness and his encouragement to us as a staff team always to pray, his focus and trust in God. And I think, yeah, I think what I love most about Francis is his friendship, his loyalty, and just the way in which he is Jesus, and he shows God's love to so many people in this fellowship.
Francis, you're someone whose wisdom I greatly respect, and I genuinely feel that if I ever have an issue, I could approach you and get brilliant advice. Bless you.
Lovely friend, Francis, and I love your teddy bear hugs.
Right, Francis, it's been a real pleasure working with you. Do you know, every day has been a question mark. I never know what's going to happen next. Your computer and you have this love affair, which we've tried to try and sort out for you, but it's just left me feeling totally perplexed. Really going to miss you and bless you for all you've done. Quite seriously, let's throw that away. Bless you for all that you've done, and thanks for being a really good mate.
Bye. I know you got some stick for your green trousers, but I love your green trousers. Keep wearing them. Seriously, what I do like is the fact that you've always got a bit of a psalm for whatever the circumstance. So I've got a bit of a psalm for you, Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Francis. Have a great retirement.
We loved him very much, and we love him still very much.
Yeah.
And he's been a great asset to this place, and we ought to bless him.
Yeah, rather. And I always think when he's there, we're in a safe pair of hands.
Yeah.
He's able to sort of negotiate things in a very godly way.
We wish you well, Francis.
Yes, yes, we do.
And the fact that you can always rely on him. He's good for a laugh. He's our star performer. And just his passion for prayer and for growing in God. Every time we meet as a staff team, he's always got his Bible open, always wanting to explore and share something from the Word of God. He's such a model and example. It's been such a blessing to be working alongside him.
A very gentle gentleman.
You were football club chairman when I was the manager, and we had such great times winning the National Christian Cup. You've been my golfing partner, you've been my mentor, and you've been my extra special friend. Happy birthday and enjoy your retirement.
Fantastic.
Dima, G.
So, Francis, you were ordained 40 years ago in 1978, is that correct? I was reflecting on this in the fact that I haven't been alive 40 years.
I'm not many years off, but I haven't quite reached that yet. And so there's something of a strange, I don't know, somewhere between odd and, I say, truly humbling experience this morning, being asked to speak. The fact that you've been in ministry, I say, longer than I've been alive. We've heard something this morning of your story, obviously, your curacy in Tunbridge, a vicar in Sutton-on-Home for 20 years, before coming here to Battle, where you've served us for well over a decade as part of the leadership here. Now, I said to Francis, when he asked me to speak today, I said, is there a particular passage you'd like me to speak on? So Francis gave me a ream of kind of information about yourself, about, you know, kind of his life story and that sort of thing. And on the top of the first page in pencil, he wrote on it, he wrote, you wanted a verse, Joel 2:25 and following. Take and use what you will. I'll be honest, that sat on my desk for a few weeks before I got round to looking at it. But I knew it was there, so that's fine, sort of thing. I know Joel 2:25 and following was given to you, wasn't it? Some 40 years ago by three friends, three prayer partners at the church you were attending in Aylesbury at the time. And this was the time when God was speaking to Francis, saying that you should leave your work as manager of four plastics companies, so not a small role, fairly well paid, I imagine, and follow him into full-time Christian ministry within the church, training to be a vicar. Now, we might say, so what? Christians giving other Christians verses happens all the time. I imagine on the bits of card today, a number of you will write verses to Francis. And even non-Christians write words or poems or that sort of thing. It's fairly commonplace. However, let me read Joel 2:25 to you if you don't know how it begins. I will repay for you the years that locusts have eaten, the great locust and young locust and other locusts and locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. Quite an interesting passage, I have to say, when I started looking at it. I thought it's a nice jolly bit of the Bible here he's picked. It's only the second time I've actually asked someone to give me a passage when I've been preaching. Usually you're given something or you just choose yourself, sort of thing. Obviously you've got to love locusts, haven't you? I mean, they're good for locusting. I don't know if that's a proper word or not. But actually, in all seriousness, these words were so powerful, I believe, and I mean, talk to Francis, when he was given them all those years ago. But also, I really believe they speak again now, and God would want to use them today for you, Francis, as you head in to this new season in your life. The step of faith that Francis and Sylvia took all those years ago was no small one. Full-time ministry in the church, ordination, becoming a vicar, a pastor, a minister, call it what you will, many do, is no small thing. There's that classic joke that as kind of clergy, we only work one day a week, Sunday. So we kind of clocked on earlier this morning, us three, and we'll clock on later on today. And therefore, that it's quite an easy life, really. I worked it out for you, Francis. If over your 40 years, that would equate to you having done about 2,000, give or take, days' work. Which might we think is quite a lot, although that is only about 5.5 of those 40 years. So if the one day a week policy does really work, it's probably been pretty easy. What are we making all this fuss about today? Where do we go from here? Ministry is not a 9-to-5 job. It's not even a job. It's a calling that God sets upon people. It's not something that you clock in and clock out of between certain hours. And even in your role here at Battle, Francis, which has been, you know, on paper part-time, although that's just a load of rubbish, you give yourself time and time and time and time and time again. Whereas we might sit in a business meeting and you leave it and you put your papers in your briefcase and that's it until you next go into the office. Often in pastoral ministry, you leave a meeting and you have to take things and you carry them home with you. Pastoral situations you've been involved in. God may have really moved and blessed someone, but actually for you, there can be that real burden. the hours that you practically put in terms of seeking to deliver all that God sets before you. And I'm not in any way suggesting that it's all kind of doom and gloom, because I think ministry is a real blessing and a real opportunity. And I'm not suggesting that it's all about kind of locusts and that sort of thing. But there is that sacrifice, which I think is something of what those verses spoke about. And that's why I believe they were so timely back then when your three friends gave them to you. God is promising the impossible in Joel 2. He says, I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. When we think of locusts, we might think of kind of big bug type creature. Something that's a bit of a pain, a bit of an annoyance, probably something that if we had a fly swat we could deal with, or whatever's close to hand, a couple of swings and they'd be dealt with good and proper. In short, I looked this up because I didn't really know, they're actually a horned species of grasshopper. And although now they're kind of kept at bay pretty much, obviously in the past they were quite a problem. And almost up until kind of recent times really, the swarms of locusts were not something that would be uncommon at all in many parts of the world. And obviously the backstory in Joel 2, it says, I will restore the years the locust has eaten, is that God's people have suffered. They have really suffered because their entire harvest has been completely destroyed by swarms of locusts. Sweeping through like an insect army, they've just annihilated it, destroying the crops and multiplying in their numbers as they go. So it just gets worse as they continue. And if you read the context here, this wasn't just a momentary event either. It wasn't just something that happened kind of 1 week and then they were gone elsewhere and then everything started to sprout again. No, this was 4 years this had been going on. We might kind of have that experience maybe at the moment, kind of as kind of the Christmas festivities and that whole kind of period of eating too much sort of kind of dies down, where our cupboards become a little bare. I don't know if you're sitting at home thinking, I really should go and do some shopping because we've kind of, you know, maybe family have visited and they've eaten you out of house and home. And you're trying to think, actually, yeah, I do really need to pop down to the supermarket and just restock. It's not the experience that God's people had. They weren't able just to pop out to Tesco's or Sainsbury's or Jemson's or wherever. This was a real calamity. It was a real state of emergency and of seriousness. And we see in this moment God's people almost being brought to their knees. Verse 18 says, then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain, new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. In the coming years, God says, you know, the field would yield an abundance. Verse 24, the threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Verse 26, you will have plenty to eat until you are full. Probably like some of us a few days ago. And you will praise the name of the Lord our God. And there's this wonderful promise for God's people being presented here. It's going to mean abundance of harvest in the years to come. And you shared with me, Francis, that when your friends gave you those verses from Joel 2:25, at your time when you were training, or going to go into training to be a clergyman and head on this path for God, a number of people kind of responded in different ways, didn't they? I think I quote you right, that some said you were bonkers. Yeah. I've reflected on it a lot. I've never quite come to using that word when I think of you. But in part, I actually think you were bonkers. If we stop and think about it for a moment, because faith in God is not something that can be easily explained. It's not something that actually, from an earthly point of view, makes any sense whatsoever. Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8 says, for the message of the cross, God sending his son, Jesus, to earth, that's what Christmas is all about, to die on a cross in our place, that's what we'll get to at Easter, paying the price for all our sin, those moments, you know, so we, when we choose to live our way, not God's way, you're paying the price for all of that. For the message of the cross, Paul says, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You are completely bonkers from the earthly point of view because you chose Jesus. Now, what the earthly point of view doesn't know, what many people don't realise, is actually that is the only hope in the world that will last and that will stay the course, and amidst all other things, when they'll fall away, will remain. Now, we might get the sense with this passage from Joel 2 that in many ways it kind of, you know, it fits with a retirement sort of celebration. It kind of fits with this kind of moment, you know, because you've come to the end of your role here at the church as you head on into pastures new in terms of, you know, having that free time to walk and all those sorts of things. You know, actually God's going to kind of restore maybe some of that's been taken in terms of your service. As I thought about it, though, for someone going into ministry, it's not the most encouraging kind of words to bring, is it? My mind, it reminded me of Private Fraser from Dad's Army, and it's kind of, we're doomed. In the sense of, if you head down this path, if you continue on this journey, and the call that God set before you, this is where you're going. This is what is ahead of you. But I believe actually, Francis, it was God's promise to you as you stepped out to serve him. It was a promise to restore. A promise, and I'm sure you'd be the first to say, that has actually been taking place over the last 40 years and is evident in the different situations you've found yourself in, the different things you've gone through, the blessings that God has poured upon you, the opportunities you've had. We've heard about some of the places your ministry has taken you around the world, but I imagine there's many opportunities that actually no one knows about, but those places where God put you and used you in a certain way, and just that opportunity is something that, you know, no one else can experience. The guidance he's offered you as he's brought you to different places, but also on a day by day, week by week basis, as he's used you and guided you. The way you've impacted countless lives. There's a fair few of us here today, and there's a fair few who couldn't make it, but actually if we were to try and work out how many people throughout your ministry you've touched, we wouldn't be able to do it. The way that God has given you those words to say just at the right time, just for the right moments, and the way that God has used you so powerfully. There will have been, I'm sure, times of challenge, maybe one or two, and struggle and pain, because that's part of ministry and that's part of life, isn't it? It's the up and downs of it all. Yet through it all, I'm pretty sure God's faithfulness has shined through. And I believe those words of Joel, as I said, are just as evident and relevant back then as they are today. And maybe there's some here this morning who actually, those words from Joel 2 actually have something to say to us. Maybe you need to hear the truth of how the losses of many years can be converted to gain by the Lord in a moment. Just need to look at the example of Peter in Luke 5. Having worked all night without a single catch, Jesus says, you know, put the nets out again. And just like that, a catch that he has never seen before, suddenly he's pulling in or attempting to pull in to his boat. Your experience may be one of the locusts have been hanging around, and actually it's been really tough. But I believe our God is a God of restoration, and he is a God who promises good things. And out of whatever has happened, maybe this morning you need to hear the truth of how in the midst of all of that, God is a God who is working for good. Maybe this morning we just need to stop and pause and ask that question, God, what are you saying to me today? 40 years ago, Francis made a decision to follow the call that God set before him. There's a real danger sometimes, I think, that we think God only calls people into ministry within the local church, or maybe to be a missionary or that thing. But actually, kind of run-of-the-mill, everyday sorts of jobs, God's really not interested in that. But I believe he is just as much. There's no hierarchy here in terms of God's purposes and his callings upon our life. And maybe this morning it's actually going, God, what is it that you've got for me? And how am I willing to hear those things that you're saying? That all said, though, and in conclusion, Francis, I want to be honest. I do. The last 3 years that I've been working at the church, I'm speaking personally here, the last 3 years working at the church, you have been a right pain to work alongside. I've said all the nice stuff. You were. No, I mean it. And I'm not talking about, we joke about kind of computers. As a staff team, I'll deviate for a moment. We went out as a staff team and took Francis out the other evening just to kind of say goodbye from his role. And we got him bits and pieces just there. And I managed to source a chocolate keyboard. I'm not talking about that, no. I'm not talking about your mastery of Facebook or anything like that, Francis. No, you genuinely been a right pain to work alongside because you have raised the bar. You have been a pain, and I mean this, because you've raised the bar where the Word of God is concerned. Whenever we've met as a staff team or to pray, you're there instantly with your Bible open as the starting point. That is your focus and central to everything. And I mean it. It's a pain because it just suddenly realised, actually, is that same? I think you're a pain because you have a passion for prayer. You used to ring those cymbals to call us to prayer. It's a bit of a joke, but I mean, we pray as a staff team on a Monday, a Wednesday, and a Friday at 10 o'clock. And sadly, I do say this, you know, more often than not, it's you standing at the door saying, are we going to pray today? Because you have that passion and that belief in what God can do when we come before him in prayer. And you've been at a pain to work alongside, Francis, because you have a passion to see God move. Often it comes out in your frustration when we try things and it doesn't work. You know, we invite people to things and they don't turn up. I know the football team has been a massive frustration to you in the effort and the work seeking to share Jesus. But again, that frustration and that passion to everything we do, how is it focusing on God? How is it furthering his kingdom? It's a right pain. Because it'd be a lot easier sometimes just to kind of ignore some of those things. And personally for me, the last 3 years, you have been a massive support in all that's happened. You're a massive encouragement. I think your willingness to embrace change. We noted earlier that tomorrow you'll be getting 80 bumps from your friends and family. But for someone in your late 70s, it'd be very easy for over the last 3 years for you to have gone, I'm not sure about this new idea, or I'm not sure about these two young upstarts, the latest scheme they've come up with, or that sort of thing. But you've had a willingness to embrace it, and not just to embrace it, but to champion us, and to really get behind us, and really say, no, I believe in what God is doing here. And that's something that words don't actually, you know, really kind of capture. But you're a great friend, and it has been a privilege to serve alongside you these last 3 years, and I'm excited for what is to come. I don't know what the future holds. There's only one of us, well, not one of us, but there's only one who does. But I do believe the future holds more of God's restoration for you. I do believe that God is going to continue to have his hand upon you and is going to continue to use you mightily in this community and probably beyond, however long you have, and it is a real privilege to call you a friend and to share this with you. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for the truth of your word and the words that you have spoken through others to Francis over many years. I want to thank you for the way that you have guided him, supported him, challenged him, urged him on, prompted him, your Lord, and through your word, the way that you have used him in challenging us here, Lord. Thank you for the hope it brings, the guidance that it offers. For my brother Francis, Lord, I pray your peace, your joy, and your continued restoring in you. And for each one of us here, may we seek to respond to your love that you lavish upon us. And may you be glorified in and through all that happens this day and beyond. Amen.
Thank you, Ed. Now, for those of you who are members here who